All right, so today we're going to find out a bit more about some amazing people. They are the amazing Millers. Come on up, guys. Give them a hand. All right, let's just pray for these guys as they share with us. Father God, thank you for the Millers. Father, thank you for them. I pray, Lord God, that we'll hear some amazing stories today. Thank you for their journey. And thank you, Lord, that they stepped up to share it with us in your precious Son's name. And everyone said, amen.
Thanks. I met Ross in Papua New Guinea. We went up as a group to a very short stint to help some missionaries there. I thought he was absolutely gorgeous. But he was heading to join Mobile Mission Maintenance, and I was becoming a member of Wycliffe Bible Translators. So different directions, and off we went. I ended up being based in Halls Creek as a literacy specialist with Wycliffe, amongst Aboriginal people speaking the Creole language. Early on in that time, God led me to build my own home. So I bought a block of land and arranged for a kit home to come across from Queensland. And God arranged for Mobile Mission Maintenance to come and put it up. I didn't plan that. He did. So into Halls Creek came Ross, leading the team with his big old Dodge truck and caravan. Well, long story short, we got married by the end of the year, and that Dodge truck, thanks Dan, the next photo, featured in our wedding party. Now, that was in Caloundra, so imagine the embarrassment for Mrs. Miller, the new Mrs. Miller, to hop in there and drive away. Beautiful Dodge truck. I made him stop a few kilometres up, and we tidied it up a bit. Imagining, you know, what your friends do to you on your wedding day. We continued with MMM together for a year and then returned to the Kimberley. Next one, Dan. So that's the Kimberley some of you will be familiar with. Well, Ross and I just worked right across that territory, that country, right from Kalumburu, Kununurra, down the Great Northern Highway, Broome, south of Broome to Bidjidanga, communities north and south of that main road we've been working at. Ross as a builder, myself as a literacy teacher in classrooms and as a consultant, again mainly working with teachers and children in classrooms where the children don't speak standard Australian English as their first language. They speak Creole or Aboriginal English, and teachers don't get it that, you know, their first language is important. It's part of their culture, and you acknowledge it, accept it, but then you need to help them learn standard Australian English because that gives them the chances in education and deployment. So just the next one before Ross hands over. That's our church in Halls Creek, and that is my soul place still, Halls Creek. Just absolutely amazing to be there amongst those people. And Ross's stories do come from that.
Yeah, as Annette said, I'm a builder by trade. And when we first moved back to Kimberley after our time with MMM, I picked up more work. Halls Creek isn't a big town, and so I used to go away quite often. And back in those days, there was no phones or communications. I'd sort of leave it, and it would say, how long are you going for? And I'd say, you better pack enough food for 3 weeks, hoping I'd be back in two. If you go to the next slide, Dan, that didn't always work. That's Christmas Day, 1987. We'd been down in the desert on the Tanami, or down near the Northern Territory border, Western Australia border, at a community, and we were working, and the boys kept saying, when are we going home for Christmas? When are we going home for Christmas? And I said, we'll knock off on the 21st and go back into town. Unfortunately, with communications the way they used to be, we didn't realise it was pouring rain up the top end of the Tanami track. So we got back up to Billaluna on the 21st, and they said, you're going no further, the road's closed. So we had to then go down to the community health and get the girls into community health at Halls Creek and on the radio, wish them a happy Christmas, and basically we'll see you when the mud dries. That photo with the Ford on the back of the trailer, we got to that point, there was about 5 kilometres of water, and we thought, will we, won't we? We thought, put the car on the ute, throw everything out of the trailer on top of the truck. And, we managed to get through that, and that was Wolf Creek, which was the big one on the other side where the truck's coming through. That's just near the Wolf Creek crater. That was the one that had stopped us. If you go to the next slide, Dan, that was another time we went into the Bungle Bungles before it was a national park. It had just been declared a national park. Aboriginal community had been given some land. It took us 12 and a half hours to do 57 kilometres that day. So, yeah, that was an interesting day, to put it mildly. And as we worked there, another slide down, we used to go bush. That's sort of, we did a huge amount of schools. That was our main thing. We built a lot of schools and teachers' accommodation in remote communities. And one of the things, maybe it's a weakness of my prayer life, but when you get that truck stuck on a sand dune in the great sandy desert, it doesn't half increase your prayer life. And one thing I'm not renowned for is patience. And when you know the only way to get off the sand dune is to sit there in the late afternoon in 40-plus degree heat and wait until about 3, 4 o'clock in the morning for the sand to cool enough before you should be able to drive off it. And in those days, we used to take a shortcut going from Billaluna down into the Great Sandy Desert, and we used to go down the Canning Stock route, about 40k, and there used to be a little bush. And if you turned left at the bush and got onto the seismic tracks, you could take a shortcut. Unfortunately, there was a lot of sand dunes on that shortcut, so people, again, were never really sure where we were when we got stuck. So it used to be times where things were not always going as per plan. If we go to the next one, Dan. Speaking of not going to plan, I'm still getting used to the fact that over here, people tend to long-term park when they go to the airport. Over there, I tended to go to the airports when I was long-term parked. That was my hino, that's the Tanami track near Sturt Creek. That was parked there for 8.5 weeks before we could actually recover it. It cost me a motor because that's the creek coming up beside it. I'm about 5k from the creek, but it actually came back far enough that it got into the motor, and yeah, got quite expensive, that little trick. And the next one, Dan. That was Nookumbar Community, which I spent quite a few years working at. And in 2011, I think it was your mum's 90th, and Annette was there with me, and we went in at the start of the wet. We were stuck in there for 16 weeks. In actual fact, the Fitzroy River goes about 10 kilometres wide there. That's the Fitzroy. And it totally surrounds the community, so you can't get in or out. And so, yeah, we were stuck there for about 16 weeks. But over that time, the Lord, that's sort of what I did as work. But it's interesting how the Lord works. In my time with MMM, as a kid, I used to struggle a lot. I had a speech impediment. I used to stutter a lot. And when I got to be with MMM, MMM was in the early days of its existence, and it was started by the Brethren Churches, the Open Brethren. And I don't know if any of you know what the Brethrens are like. They're a bit like the Quakers, and sometimes you walk in and an elder will come up to you and say, "Brother, I feel the Lord would have you share a message with us this morning." And you go, "You've got to be joking." And but through that time, the Lord sort of taught me a lot of things and encouraged me to speak. And one of the elders said to me once, but Ross, quoting from Peter, that Ross, surely you are willing to give an account of the hope that lies within you. And that's pretty hard to refuse when it's put like that. And then when we got to Halls Creek, I was involved in the church there, again speaking. Then in 1994, Annette said, "I've had enough of you never being at home. We need to shift somewhere where you might actually spend some time with me." So in 1994, we shifted to Broome, from Halls Creek down to Broome. And we became involved with the Baptist Church there. And I became an elder. Shortly after becoming an elder, the pastor we had a breakdown. And so for the next 5 years, it nearly split the church. And for the next 5 years, I did most of the speaking on Sundays because the church was fairly fractured for a while there. And I thought, how does a kid that used to have a speech impediment end up having to do this? And then in 2004, my wife came home one day and said, "I'm going bush." And I said, "But I thought we'd moved to Broome so we don't go bush." She said, "I've got an opportunity to work at a school. It's just being started 400k away." And I said, "Well, I've got a problem. I've got 12 months of work contracted to me in Broome, so I can't leave." So she went off out bush, and we used to try to get in and out to each other. She was actually on the other side of all that water. The first year she went in, I managed to drive her in there. That day I kept saying, "Annette, you have to finish loading, we have to get going." And by the time we got to the Nookumbar turn off, we couldn't get across the river. So then we had to do another 100k into Fitzroy, and go round the back way, and we were crossing creeks constantly with water, and by the time we got in, the only way I could get out was to fly. So I didn't see Annette for the first term. She was stuck in there. And then after that, Annette kept saying, you have to come out and spend some more time with me. So I started getting work at Nookambar at the school. And I probably spent 7 years out there at Nookambar and was involved in the church there as well. One of the things that I'd just like to say to people is that as you travel around, and especially younger people, if you find yourself working in remote areas, encourage the churches. They really do need encouraging. And the thing I learned about Nookambar is it's only a smallish community, a couple of hundred people, is that the Christians used to meet there regularly on a Sunday. And it was a special time for the Christians of encouragement. And as they lived in the community with all the troubles, the Christians getting together and encouraging one another. So often I find over the years there'd be people come to Broome that had been going to churches in Perth and stuff. And when they came away from their churches, they said, oh, we're having a break from church. And they wouldn't be involved in anything. And yet there'd be struggling churches there really yearning for people to help out. And I'll just look at some notes that I've got here. And I suppose that looking today at superheroes, not that we're superheroes, and villains, I suppose that over the years, the biggest villain I've had in my life is myself. So often, we're reluctant to do what God wants us to do. So often, we have to fight against ourselves. The good I want to do, I don't do. The bad I want to do, I do do. I think we can all relate to that. And yet, over the years, work has taken me to places, but being willing to do what God's put in front of us at the time has yielded many blessings to me and hopefully the people around us. And I suppose that as I've lived my life, I'd like to be like Abraham. It's written of Abraham that he was faithful and it was reckoned unto him as righteousness. How faithful was Abraham that it was reckoned unto him as righteousness? Are we righteous in our faithfulness? That's all that we can give back to God, is to be faithful to the lives he's led us to live. And so I suppose, Donnie, my villain would be myself in many ways, the villain within. There are many times I've said, no, Lord, not me, find someone else. Or, no, Lord, I'm too busy. Can't we do that later? But, yeah, I'll hand back to Annette now.
The next one, please, Dan. I love this photo of Ross. That's at Nookambar in the afternoon, hot and sweaty after a day's work with the local men, putting up this amazing sports facility, basketball court. But you could just see the delight on the children knowing that they were going to have this wonderful facility to use during school and after school. Right, my story was 2008 in July, I know, so that's 11 years ago. I woke up one morning, I was out at Bayulu, Ross was at Nookambar, and I just said, God, I've had enough. I'm tired, it's hot, I'm separated from Ross all the time, I'm lonely, I'm isolated, I travel all these kilometres out in these outback roads by myself. I'm quitting, Lord, I'm stopping now. I've done enough for you, surely. And I was serious, I was deadly serious. I was going to tell Ross that day, okay, I'm leaving, I'm coming back to where you are. During that time, I was reading through Deuteronomy, and thanks, Dan, this is what I read that morning. Look, today I'm giving you the choice between a blessing and a curse. You'll be blessed if you obey the commands of the Lord your God that I'm giving you today, but you'll be cursed if you reject the commands of the Lord your God and turn away from him and worship gods you've not known before. When the Lord your God brings you into the land and helps you take possession of it, you must pronounce the blessings at Mount Gerizim and the curse at Mount Ebal. For you are about to cross the Jordan River to take over the land your Lord your God is giving you. That was part of my reading. Then I went on my walk through the bush, myself, a few kangaroos, to do my sort of morning daily exercise. And as I walked between two big rocky outcrops, God said to me, I'm giving you a choice, Annette. See that rocky outcrop there on the left? That represents you giving up. And you can give up. That's all right. That's your choice. But see that other big one over on the other side? That's the blessing rock. And if you choose to keep going, then I've got a blessing for you and those that you're working with. Well, when God put it like that, I really didn't have a choice. So at that point in that remote area, I surrendered again to keep going. Thanks, Dan. So that's the rock. I took a photo of it. That's the blessing rock. And that's my very own standing stone. You know how God told the Israelites to put up standing stones to remember what he'd done in their life? Well, I've got my own. God gave it to me. And I know exactly where it is. I could go there if I was out there tomorrow and find it. And that represents to me God using scripture that I'd read, but making it real to me that he'd given me a choice. And at that point, I chose to continue. And I can tell you that making that choice then has still got repercussions today. Okay. A bit emotional about that. What I've gone on to do is devise a program for Aboriginal children who don't speak standard Australian English as their first language. The children I work with speak Creole or Aboriginal English. I implemented the program in a little school out of Halls Creek, and it worked amazingly well. The teachers were just dumbfounded with what the children were achieving, the confidence they had as we acknowledged their first language and culture, but we added standard Australian English in a way that they felt so clever. Then Ross and I left the Kimberley to mainly to come and support elderly parents at this side of the world. And God opened up an opportunity for me last year and the year before to work at Cherbourg School. Now, 5,000 kilometres separating the two groups of children, same program, again, worked amazingly well. Teachers were just amazed. And the children, here's a photo of them, thanks, Dan. Just that's in their classroom. They just were picking up standard Australian English books. We taught them to speak that particular piece of language. They were reading it, and then they went on to write it. The confidence was just, they just thought they were so clever. One of them wrote me a letter at the end of the year and thanked me for making her so brainy. She's already brainy and clever. She's already using her own language and knows her own culture. But through the program I implemented, they were adding the language that they need for the wider range of living in Australia. So what am I doing now? I'm writing a manual to help teachers share with the teachers what I've learned over those 30-odd years that we're in the Kimberley, and so that I can represent this work to others. But, you know, as I've been doing it this year, I've had doubts. Little voices coming in saying, well, who do you think you are, Annette Miller, that you can write a book for teachers? And just, you know, overwhelmed with the whole concept and that I can't possibly do it, it's too hard. And one day I was reading through Isaiah and the Holy Spirit just took a verse, thanks Dan, and he just shot it into my heart, soul and mind. This is God speaking, I've put my words in your mouth and covered you with the shadow of my hand. And I knew that God was saying, it's my work, I've given you the words and I'm going to protect you against the evil one that's telling you you can't do it. I found that graphic on the internet and I actually put it on my phone. So every time I open my phone, that's what I read. And God reminds me that it's his words that I'm writing and he's going to protect me. And that just to the last slide reminds me of this verse for all of us. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armour so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. We are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armour.
All right, kids, how are we doing today? You good? Okay. All right, you'll see in a minute. As you've heard, we're doing superheroes and villains. Superheroes and villains today. So you can't really have a superhero without a villain, can you? Or can you? All right. So here we go. Name some superheroes.
Batman.
Very good. He was one of the ones I had in mind. Let's concentrate on Batman. Are we on the same part? Okay, hold on. We'll get to villains. All right, I want you to name three villains of Batman. Three villains of Batman. Yes?
Joker.
Catwoman. Very good. Anyone else? Ollie? No?
Harley Quinn.
Yeah, very good. Excellent work. Okay, so today, to encourage you with those, I've got some Avengers pencils. Would you like a pencil? Cool. And rubber, Iron Man rubber. And you answered a question? Yep. And, Thor. I like Thor. There we go. And, another Iron Man. Lots of Iron Men. All right. Very good. Now I'm thinking of another superhero. another superhero, really cool superhero. If you were up late last night watching TV, you might have seen him on TV. Well, who am I thinking of?
Iron Man?
No.
Robin?
Robin's a sidekick. We talked about that last week. He's a sidekick. He's not a superhero. All right, that's okay. Superman? No.
Spider-Man.
Very good. Okay, Spider-Man was on last night. Sorry?
I thought you were talking about Iron Man.
Iron Man. No, Spider-Man. Spider-Man. All right, so Spider-Man, three villains against Spider-Man. Three villains. Anyone know? Anyone know? One was green, and he flew in the air. You know what he looks like? And he's, well, can you do his laugh? No, drats. That would have been cool. No, he's a superhero. Green Goblin's his name. All right. So Spider-Man's been a bit hard for you, trying to find the villains. What about the Sandman? The Sandman? And what about Dr. Ock, the guy with the eight arms?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So all villains, all super villains. Yeah, didn't know their names. Okay. Oh, okay. No worries. All right, let's go for one other before the grand final. We've got to get some more points up to see who's going in the grand final today. All right, here we go. Let's go for Jesus. Jesus. Who's the villain in Jesus' life? The devil. That's a good answer. Took him out in the desert for 40 days, tempted him in every way. That's pretty hardcore. Is there another one? Not really a super villain, it's one we face all the time. But Jesus defeated it and defeated the devil too. Sin. Very good. Excellent. All right, ladies, come on up here for the grand final. Two girls. Yes, come on up.
Oh, I never get to.
Oh, it's okay, Ollie. All right, for those who didn't get to the grand final, here we go. There you get Thor. And there you go, a pencil, and here's a picture of Dad. All right. For those that aren't seeing, that was the Hulk. There you go. And you guys got one. All right. Oh, okay, you girls, you ready? You know your superheroes? Sort of? Yes. Do you know your villains? No, not really. Okay, we're going for Superman. Superman. Who is the big villain against Superman? The Batman. Yeah, there was that one movie, wasn't there? Good point. Good point. Terrible movie. Yeah, yeah. Okay. If we don't get the right answer, we'll go with that one. All right? No? Wow. It does. Has both his names start with L. His first name only has three letters. All right, Lex Luthor, okay. All right, not too good on the villains today, which is okay. It's good not to know the villains. So as our winner, would you like the gold? Look at that, boys and girls. We have spent the dollars this week at Kiwanis Life Baptist Church. We've gone for gold. That's just strange. Yeah, it is a bit strange, isn't it? Okay, gold. But who would you like, Captain America or the villain Thanos? Oh, how's that? You don't care. We'll just pick one. There you go. Going with Thanos for Ollie. There we go. Captain America. Let's all give our winners a hand. All right. Okay, before I hand over to Bruce for our Bible reading, a couple of quick ones from the Bible. Superheroes and villains. We had last week, we had David. Who was the villain? Who was the villain? David and Goliath. Very good. Very good. Samson and something. Samson and help him out, people. Delilah, very good. What about Noah and the whale? We're helping you out here. What did you say, Bruce?
The whale.
The whale, yeah, I'm with the whale. That's good. All right, what about
the whale and the
Oh, did I say Noah?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, Jonah. Jonah and the whale. That's I've been sick the last 3 days. Give me a break. All right. It goes around, yes. I'm sure there was whales in Noah's day. Okay, Bruce, help me. Come and do the Bible reading.
Before I read the Bible, I'd just like to encourage you. I think when Annette and John spoke, I think sometimes there are people in our church. There are people we meet and we were people we don't meet. And we just don't know who they are. We just don't know their story. So I would encourage everyone that if you don't know somebody, especially if they're new people here, to get to know them, because there are many people in this church who have done amazing things, and basically they sometimes get lost in the woodwork. And I praise God that we have people like Annette and John who've done some wonderful things in up in the territory and up in Western Australia, Father. And I would just mention that if you want to meet somebody who's a wonderful person, we have our friend David, who has just sort of been on his motorcycle bike for the last couple of months driving around West Australia, but he also spent 4 years in China with us. And he has also some amazing stories as well. The reading this morning is from Ephesians 6, verses 10 to 18. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people.
Thank you, Bruce. Thank you. Well, today is a significant day. It's a very significant day. Some people have won some prizes. Other people got to share a bit of their story. And I get to share with you God's word. So that's significant in itself. But as an intro, today is actually celebrating 15 years of me being here as a pastor at Quina Life Baptist Church. So that's significant in itself. So there you go. So for those that were here all those years ago, 15 years ago, who would have thought I'd still be here 15 years later? So back in those days, we were over in the maths room over at the high school, and then we moved into the auditorium, and then from the auditorium into this space where we've been for about 12 to 13 years. So God has taken us on an amazing journey and seen some amazing things in and through those times and in and through those places. And we've met some amazing people in those journeys with great stories. And we've heard many, many sermons over those years, whether it be from myself or from Brendan or from James or many guest speakers who've got up and shared and brought open what God has for us. We've learned about prayer. We've learned about spiritual warfare. We've worked our way through the Bible. We've worked through our way through the New Testament twice. So there's many things that we've done as a church in ways of trying to be according to God's word. At the moment, we're working through our Super Sundays, trying to concentrate on superheroes and villains today. And next week, looking at superheroes and them belonging to a family, which is quite significant. Let's stop for a moment and think about superheroes. Superheroes, the ones that we name, some of them have superpowers. Superman has superpowers. He can fly and leap strong, build big buildings in a single bound. He's amazing. He's quite incredible. Spider-Man can jump and shoot web out and climb amazing and fly through the air and that sort of stuff in big leaps. Batman has a lot of gadgets and very rich, which helps, I suppose. Iron Man had a tragedy happen in his life and was very smart, scientific, and was able to build some really, really cool toys. The Hulk had an experiment that went wrong and he got damaged by it and became a superhero. Others' stories are not all that simple, all that complicated, but some are just normal people. In the book, the Encyclopedia of Marvel Superheroes, there's a superhero called Duck Boy.
Duck Boy?
Yeah, Duck Boy. He has about that much written about him. He's not very significant. He's only the size of a duck, so he's not very powerful, but he rates a mention in the encyclopedia. Now, some of us might look at the Bible and go, yeah, we talk about David and versus Goliath. We talk about Jesus. We talk about the apostles. And we think they're the superheroes from the Bible. Who are we to rate with them? Well, the really cool stuff is that we don't do anything by ourselves. We do it in God's strength and in God's power to enable us to do what we do. And that makes us superheroes by the power of the Holy Spirit. The same Spirit that worked through Jesus works through us, enables us to do what God calls us to do. That passage that we had read out to us is an interesting passage. Have you heard it before? No? It's called the armour of God, and it talks a lot about the armour that a soldier would have worn. So, for example, what's that the soldiers put on their head? A helmet. Now, as a soldier, the helmet is good for what? Keep your head safe. Yeah, so you don't get a whack in the head. Swords are quite a lethal sort of weapon, and if you don't have a good helmet on, you get a whack on the head, even a glancing blow, you could be in big trouble, couldn't you? So a helmet is very good. And why is it good to protect the head? That's where our brain is, and we've got to protect our brain because it makes lots of decisions. So when we look at this as the helmet of salvation, to have it on our head, to be able to protect us. All right. It talks again about a breastplate on the front here. Why would that be important? A chest plate or a breastplate, they call it. Chest plate. Yeah, chest plate. I see what you're saying there. So why is that important? What does that protect?
Your chest.
What's inside our chest? Heart, lungs. Yeah, all that really important stuff. And our heart is really important. And in the area of spiritual warfare, if our heart gets damaged, we can be in trouble, can't we? Yeah. We can get upset, we can be hurt, we can be cranky, we can grieve. That can hurt our heart. The other one is a shield. Why is a shield important? To protect you. When someone throws something at you, a shield can block it. You know, the really cool thing with the Roman shield is that they were meant to connect together. If you've ever seen some movies where the Romans get together, they would build what they called a shield wall, where they would all go together and crouch down below it, and then the other guys would put the shields over the top of it, and they would have this turtle. And the turtle had all these spears that would come out of it. So it was quite a good way of doing things back in those days. The other thing that talks about here is a sword. Why is a sword good? For a weapon. You need to be able to fight back. It's not just about being defensive, it's being able to fight back. Now, who can remember what Bruce read out as the sword? What is the sword? Who can remember? Let me see. And the sword, which is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. What's the Word of God? The Bible. And so the Bible is what we can use as a weapon in this day and age. Not to grab someone, I'm just thinking, Ollie, not to grab someone and hit them with the Bible. All right, that's called Bible bashing, and we don't want to do that. But the Bible, being the Word of God, can enable us and help us to live life in all its ways. This morning when I did my Bible reading, which I do every day, and it's good to get into God's Word every day, I read through a section of the Proverbs, and it talked about pride and humility. Who's ever got proud about something? Yeah, what did you get proud about? Oh, you forget about it? You've probably done it? We've got to be very careful here with pride and being proud of something. If you win a race, are you allowed to be You're allowed to be proud of winning a race. That's good. You've done well. If you win a football game with a whole bunch of other people, that's good. You can be that. But when pride leads you away from trusting God, in other words, when you think you can do it all in your own strength, then you're in trouble. And there's lots of stories. And if you look around our church today, you could probably find 101 stories of people who have felt, hey, I can do this. This walking with God stuff's easy. I can do all this. I don't need to pray. I don't need to read my Bible. I can do it all my way. And then they get into trouble. And you'll hear story after story after story of getting into trouble. And that's the pride that can take us off track. Now, that passage also talked about the devil as an adversary or as a enemy or as a villain. All right? And this Bible helps us to be able to stand against him in all those ways. The Bible is a very, very important tool to help us to stand against the enemy. Now, when we talk about God, we talk about God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Okay? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. When we talk about evil, we can talk about the devil, the world, and the flesh. Okay? Now, the devil is the devil. He's out there. He's real. And one of the best things that can happen for him in what he wants to do today is for us to give him no credit, to think he doesn't exist anymore. That it was all back in the dark ages. The more we don't give him power, the more he loves it. The more he has power. The more he's able to work in people's lives manipulatively and secretly. We need to recognize that he's there and to make a stand against him and to know that he is defeated. As you've talked about Jesus and the devil is defeated on the cross. Defeated. He is a defeated foe. We'll read in a minute a little bit about that when Jesus said, it is finished. Both the devil and sin were defeated. Next one, the world. The world is out there and it encroaches on us all the time, doesn't it? The world and its powers. The world that says, this is what you have to do. Our political stuff, the world telling us this is the way it is. And there's big battles all over the world. In India at the moment, there is a prime minister who's in charge of India. And he is saying, this is the way we'll do things. He's a Hindu. And he's enforcing his Hindu religion over all of India. And it's causing a hassle for those who want to follow Jesus and other people of other religions in that country. And it's being really, really tough for those who want to do it that way. There's other areas in the world, which we won't go into great detail at this moment in time. The last one is the flesh. Whoever has a battle with yourself. Yes, very quick, yes. There's that. Thank you very much, Annette and Ross, for what you shared. And thank you, Ross, for tying in so well with my sermon, saying that you are your best villain. I think, how many can I say amen to that? Yeah, because we know. We know what we can do in God. We know we can step out. We know if we believe it. We've got as many great stories and testimonies about God working in our lives. But our flesh goes, ah, yeah, but that was then, that's not now. I'm not 17 anymore, I'm not 24, I'm not 36, I'm not 45, you know, whatever, whenever it happened. And we go, no, that's it. That's it. And I remember going into a retirement village recently and I prayed the blessing of Joshua and Caleb over the people. Now, it was a little bit mean because the blessing of Joshua and Caleb is for 80-year-olds. Some of them weren't 80-year-olds yet. But the blessing is, we'll go in and take that town. We'll go in and take the highlands. We're young still, and we will do what God's called us to do at the age of 80. Is that young? It is. In God, it can be, can't it? Absolutely. Absolutely. And I'll give you a hint. If you go up and talk to someone who's 80 today, don't call them old. Okay? They probably won't like it. You probably won't figure out that they're 80 anyway. I can never tell if people are over 80 in this place. They're just so amazing at what they do. But our flesh can sometimes tell us, no, don't do that. You know, don't clean the room. Don't be nice to your brother and sister. Don't. Did you guys get a memo this week? A memo? You know what a memo is? You never seen a memo before? What about an email? Yeah, a text message? Well, let's have a look at a memo that's gone out and see if it makes sense. So when we talk about superheroes and villains, the way that we can be a superhero is to be like Jesus, to let Jesus work in and through us, and we can make a difference. Every superhero was meant to help the little people, not just take on the supervillains, but to help the everyday person. We, as followers of Jesus, are meant to help each other, support one another, and stand together against all forms of evil, whether it be the big stuff that we want to make a challenge against, or areas of loneliness, areas of greed, areas of hurt, areas of pain. We can all be Jesus' love to each other, to support one another, to stamp out the things that are wrong in this world. Let's pray. Father God, you called us to be different. You called us to be like you. And Father, I thank you for the fact that on the cross you came, and Jesus, you died. But before you died, you said, "It is finished." Sometimes when we think about spiritual warfare, or we think about supervillains, we think about the evil, we think, "Oh my goodness, Lord, how can we stand against that?" Well, you've called us to stand. But you haven't called us to stand as one. You've called us to stand together. Together, we can make a difference. Together, with you working through us in the power of the Holy Spirit, we can make a difference. And Father, we thank you for what you did. And we thank you, Lord God, that you brought us to this place where you've asked us to remember it through the taking of the cup and the breaking of the bread. And we, at this time, Father, we remember it. And we thank you, Father, that the sin in our life has been covered by your blood and therefore is forgiven. Lord, today, may there be a fresh work of your Spirit, that we may all know that our sins are forgiven. That we are new in Christ. We are all new in Christ. The old is gone, the new has come. And Father, as we take the bread and we realize that in obedience to the Father, you went to the cross. And so for us, Lord God, in obedience today, we choose blessing and not curse. We choose blessing and obedience to be like Jesus. Amen.